There are monsters roaming all around the world. You don't even have to be in the woods to see them, apparently. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we are getting pretty close to episode number 50 of the Cryptid Encounter series. Joining me today is my good friend Zach Baby TV. I just got back from my vacation in the Appalachian Mountains, and it's been a little tough for me to get back in the swing of things as I've gotten a little bit of a cold. So, he helped me out reading a few of these stories, and I'd really appreciate you guys checking out his channel. You can find the link to do so in the description down below. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true cryptid horror stories that'll keep you out of those woods tonight. So this story is of my experience with a skimwalker. A little background before I begin. This happened when I was 8 years old, and my father told me this story when I got older. My father has had this odd connection to the paranormal since he was just a child, and has many stories, but those can be for another time. He explained that this experience happened during the fall. We had just had one of the hottest summers, so the warm weather lingered a little longer than normal. I had just woken up and needed to use the bathroom. Now, for some context, we live on the Navajo Reservation, so that pretty much means that we have no running water, which in turn means no indoor plumbing. So if you need to use the bathroom, you have to make a trip outside. Now, as I had just woken up, I went to my father and asked him to take me outside so I could do my business. I was still half asleep, so my memory is a little fuzzy during this part. As we made our way outside, he told me just to go out as far enough as I could to do my business. Later, as I asked him to recall this story, I asked how far I made it away. He explained that I was not that far, maybe just 15 yards out. As he was waiting, he said that he noticed something moving in the grass. Thinking it was one of our dogs, he said he just kept an eye on it. Thinking that it was his eyes playing tricks on him, he said that the shape moved oddly like a dog army crawling on its stomach, but with its arms in an awkward pose. As it came closer to my father, he said that he knew exactly what it was. He called out my name and told me to get back inside, not wanting to scare me. He said that this thing noticed him and turned its head towards him as if to acknowledge him and began crawling backwards. As I got back inside, I instantly went back to bed, and my father then woke my mother up and whispered there is a skimwalker outside, and it was 2 feet from Sunny Boy. My mother got up quickly, and they both went into the kitchen to see if they could see where it went. As they continued to look, my father said he spotted it. It was still in the tall grass in the same position, except now it began to stand up and make a quick dash behind a tree. Losing sight of it, they decided to stay up and just make sure it did not return. After about an hour or so, my mom said she heard something hit the side of the house next to the living room. Getting up from the couch, they went back to the window to see if it made its way back. Peeking from the window, my mother and father said they noticed a black shape standing at the corner of the house. As soon as they spotted it, they began to pray in Navajo. At this point, my father said he went outside to stand up to it, but after a few minutes of looking, he came back and told my mother it was gone. After he told me this, my skin began to crawl, and I just hate coming to terms with how close this thing was.
Two weeks ago, I went camping with my best friend and his girlfriend in eastern Texas. We're from the Fort Worth area, but we like to travel in the outskirt areas when it comes to camping. We don't like to be around a lot of people, and we really just want to get away from everybody, to be honest. That's the whole point in camping, realistically. We had a late start. It was kind of a last-minute decision, like the night prior. So that night prior, we pretty much spent a couple hours at Walmart trying to get everything that we needed for that weekend that was the next day, basically. It was a Thursday, and we decided to go on the next day on a Friday. It was a split decision, but Sometimes those are the best times when you just have nothing planned and just go for it. So, we get pretty much everything that we needed for that weekend. Fast forward to Friday, and we're on our way. Even then, we had a late start. We didn't arrive to our destination until about 1 p.m. In all honesty, the reason for our delayed arrival was totally my fault. We were eating over at this Tex-Mex Mexican joint place, and I had way too much spicy food that morning. I mean, from the peppers to the salsa, I mean, just... I like spicy food, but I think that I, for one, now I'm speaking for myself, I went overboard. I was hungry, and we were just having a gay old time that morning, and let's just say my body did not agree with the intake of food and spices that I had for that breakfast. So I was constantly in the bathroom, which totally delayed us. Like I said, it was totally my fault, but eventually, we had an Imodium in the bathroom cabinet, and that solved the problem, and we were on our way. After about a 2.5 hour drive, we finally arrived at the camping site. We all worked together, unpacked my buddy's truck, and started to set everything up, which included the tent, the food, the ice chest, the lawn chairs, the firewood, you know, the basics. It was a nice afternoon. A couple of weeks prior to this, it was just so incredibly hot and humid, it was disgusting. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't humid when we went camping, it definitely was, but you're pretty used to it when you're from Texas. It was partly cloudy in the sky, it had a nice, slight, chill breeze, and it was a good day to camp. After about 30 minutes, everything was pretty much set up aside from the tent. We knocked that out in about 15 minutes. And then we just sat around and prepared for a late lunch. After we had set everything up, I couldn't help but realize that there wasn't too many other people at this camping location. Now, this campsite is run by the Rangers, but it's not like a huge camping facility, like a big popular one that most people go to, like the RV ones and the KOAs and stuff like that. This one's kind of rural and kind of just out there, like, you kind of learned about it by word of mouth. Like, there's nobody on site that really checks on you, they just have one of those boxes with the money inserts and stuff for you to pick the spot, and there you go. It's almost like a code of honor for honesty, but I know the park rangers stop by to clean the restrooms that are here on site and stuff like that, but you really don't see too many of the rangers. They do pop up periodically, but it's very seldom. Now that I think about it, it's probably a good thing. But unfortunately for us that weekend, it was horribly bad. After we had cooked some burgers up and things of that nature, we enjoyed ourselves with some beers and snacks and just decided just to chillax for the evening and not do anything. We planned on going on a nice little hike the next day. I heard there was a lake over here that I don't remember seeing the last time that we went out here. We've been out here one other time, and that's why we came back for a second time, because we liked it. But it's been a while since we've been out here, so a couple of things had changed. So the evening came, and the sun slowly drifted below the horizon. It was completely and utterly dark. Pitch black. The only thing that you could see in the sky was the moon and the bright stars from above. And the only sounds that you could hear would be from the nearby crickets and the crackling from your fire in the fire pit. By this time, the weather started to change and get a little cooler, which is what I always preferred at least. But my buddy's girlfriend started to get annoyed and put on a sweater and just complain. You know, there's just people out there they'd rather sweat than be comfortable. I never really understood that, but to each their own. We were taking shots of Patron and drinking plenty of beer. All three of us are in our early 20s. My buddy Rob and his girlfriend go to a community college, and myself, I just have a day job, but I'm actually thinking about joining the military. I just really haven't made up my mind yet. My buddy Rob had one too many shots of Patron, and we could tell that he was starting to pass out. Which is absolutely fine. I mean, I'd rather him stop and go to sleep and just have a hangover in the morning, and not throw up all over the place. I remember she helped him, well, we helped him back into their tent, and put him to sleep under the sleeping bag. After we put my buddy Rob to bed, she zipped up the tent and followed me back over to the fire pit, sitting down in the lawn chairs. I reached my hand over to the cooler, grabbed another Corona, and popped off the lid with a can opener. Taking another swig, I could kind of notice that she was kind of checking me out. It was weird. My buddy Rob and her, they've been dating for about 3 months now. She was a sexy-looking hyena, in all means. She was about 4'11", size 5, 125 pounds, rocking a 38D chest. To say it plainly, in keeping this story PG, she was smoking hot. So I just ignored it and just tried to keep it casual by talking about how drunk my buddy was and what we had planned for the next evening and hiking and maybe we'll do a little fishing or something. I did notice that he had a couple of poles in the back. Things like that. She just nodded and smiled, stood up, and walked slowly over in my direction. I didn't know what she was doing at first until she sat on my lap and leaned into me, and I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? And right when that happened, that's when we heard the howls. She quickly leaned back and hopped off of my lap and stood up looking into the woods behind us. What was that? She asked me. I stood up, just still stunned. One, that my buddy's girlfriend was making a move, and two, what the hell was that howling? It sounded like it was so close to us. We have coyotes and stuff, but we don't have big bad wolves or anything out here. I mean, it's Texas. It's not Montana. I just stood up and just looked around. Like I said before, it's pitch black out here, and there wasn't too many people nearby camping in this location to begin with. I walked over to my backpack, luckily it wasn't too far from where I was sitting, and grabbed my air horn, and then I grabbed my... Don't laugh, but I grabbed a little pocket knife. It wasn't in my pocket, so yeah, I know. We weren't that prepared, obviously, but we weren't really expecting anything like this either. So there I was. All we had was a flashlight, an air horn, and a Swiss Army knife. Just staring there. Trying to see if we could see any movement or anything amongst the tree line. Nothing. That was until we heard the noises. In my head, I was thinking to myself, what the hell is out here? I looked over at my buddy's girlfriend and she was just praying or mumbling something in Spanish that I had no idea what she was saying. I grabbed her hand and just told her just stay put and stay close to the fire. I'll be right back. She grabbed my hand and said, no, don't go. But I told her it'd be fine, I'm just going to check it out a little bit. I released my hand and I walked over towards the wood line. I had to know what the hell was going on. I started to walk towards the wood line, and I had the weirdest feeling that I was being watched. The further that I walked, the more of this weird, eerie feeling that overcame me. I flashed my flashlight all around, and when I flashed my beam straight ahead of me, That's when I saw it. This large black claw gripping the outside of some tree bark like it was hiding behind this tree. When I saw the claw, it freaked me out and I shot the light up about 24 inches or so just to see its face. This giant wolf-like man was creeping behind the woodline behind these trees. Its eyes reflected red against the light from the flashlight, and it snarled at me. I lifted my air horn out, aimed it at this thing, and pulled the trigger on it. As soon as I did, it startled this thing off, and it completely disappeared from view from my flashlight and darted off in the woods behind it. My heart was thumping so bad. I was so afraid, so petrified. What in God's name did I just see? Surely enough, I grabbed my courage back, what courage was left, and I walked back over towards the fire pit where she was waiting. I told her everything that had happened. And that freaked her out even more, but I had to let her know what the hell I saw. I'm not gonna keep that kind of thing a secret. I didn't want to stay there. The both of us packed everything up and left my buddy's tent for the last thing to pack up since he was still sleeping inside it, sound asleep. He missed all the excitement. We eventually woke him up, tore down his tent, and we got back on the road and we got the hell out of there. I don't think we'll ever go back to that campsite ever again.
My name is Clara. First off, I'd like to say that I'm a big fan, and it would be an honor if you read this story. It is rather short because it happened about 13 years ago, and my memory may be a little blurred on what happened. I apologize in advance. I was around the age of 12. The church I was going to, at the time, had decided to go to a camp. There were cabins, RVs, tents, etc. at this site. If I recall correctly, the site was in Missouri somewhere. I am not a Christian or anything, I am Wiccan, but because I was going to a Christian school, I was suckered into the camp. I absolutely hate camping. I hate being outdoors. I hate nature in general. I am a city girl, and I do not belong outdoors. After this incident, I vowed to never go camping ever again. The camp had a nightly worship closing ceremony thing, where the camp band would play worship songs and we would all hear a sermon. We were under the closest pavilion near some woods. I was in the very back row of seats with the woods behind me. The music was not playing at the time, but the youth leader was praying or something like that. I never really paid attention to the prayers, sermons, or songs. I was talking with my stepsister, who was sitting next to me, when I got a very bad feeling, like someone was watching me very intently. I stopped talking, and I investigated the woods. I thought I saw a silhouette of a man right in front of one of the trees. It seemed to be taller than an average man, though. Maybe 7 feet tall. It looked skinny, too, from what I could make out anyway. My sister asked me what was wrong, but I did not want to tell her. She never really believed in supernatural beings. I let it go for a bit, and went back to talking about whatever with my sister, though I still had that creepy feeling. After a few more minutes, though, I heard a stick break and my blood ran cold. I turned back around, and I swear, to whatever I saw, something was over there. It had pale skin, and it was running off on all fours into the woods. From what I could see, it moved much faster than any human possibly could. It honestly looked like it was on all fours or hunched over as it ran off. Once it was gone, I did not feel that strange feeling anymore. I like to think that it was a Wendigo or something similar. Needless to say, I freaked out. I had a full-blown panic attack. The youth leader and the other camp counselors prayed over me, like prayer is going to stop a panic attack. I did eventually calm down on my own, and when I told them what happened and what I saw, the youth leader said it was a demon that was attached to me. Okay. I don't know if it was a demon, but I think it might have been some sort of cryptid. My sister still does not believe that I saw something that night, but I can never forget that creature.
The story is short and to the point. It's not a super scary story, but it's definitely a sighting that happened to me and my cousin last spring. It was in the month of May, and we were born and raised in the area of Portland, Oregon. We were camping on the eastern part of the state near the border of Idaho. We always like to get away, and honestly, Portland's a big city, and when we go camping, we just want to get away from everybody. We always try to find that one place that a lot of people don't know about, that's more secluded and with beautiful scenery. Well, we found it last spring. I don't have any brothers or sisters, and my cousin has two other sisters, but he's not really close with either one of them, and we kind of grew up together, so he's more like a brother than anything else. Once we had arrived, we wanted to do a little bit of hiking before that evening's meal. So we grabbed our waters, I grabbed my hiking stick and hat, and we were venturing off into the woods. We've been here one other time, and we were pretty fond of the area. About 30 minutes had passed by, and we started getting this weird feeling like we were being followed. Now, there's wild animals out here, and there's a couple other people that are camping out here as well, but this feeling was nothing of the sort. This was something totally different. I tried to brush it off, and we just continued on our hike. Eventually, we started hearing these weird snapping noises. I'm not trying to be cliche, but we really did. Then the howls came. Somewhere off in the distance. Somewhere behind us. Okay, I think we should turn around and start to head back to camp, my cousin mentioned to me. I agreed and we made a 180 and we started walking back down the trail. Again, we still had that weird, eerie feeling we were being watched somehow. Yet we didn't see a thing. Fast forward about 30, 35 minutes later, we finally arrived back to our camping spot. To see everything completely destroyed. Our food and meats were either gone or flung around in various locations in the dirt. Our chairs were completely destroyed. Pieces of fabric just torn from place to place. Plates, silverware, everything was just completely destroyed, including the ice chest was in several pieces. What could have done that? And why? When we approached everything just a little bit closer, we couldn't help but notice the footprints in the dirt. They looked like wolf prints, but these prints were abnormally large. They were definitely wolf prints, but they were larger than our boots. And I'm a size 10, and my cousin's a size 11. These prints were huge. Whatever it was that tore up our camp was something I can't even explain. But thank God we were hiking when this had happened.
I'm a 16-year-old girl. This story happened around November of last year at my grandparents' house in upstate New York. Behind their house is farmland, and behind that are many acres of thick woods. There are several trails that have been created through these woods for walking or four-wheeling purposes. I've been going on these trails all my life, and I've never truly felt that there is anything to be afraid of in there. I often listen to horror stories about being in the wilderness and sometimes wonder if I will encounter something scary, but I never thought I would. On the day this story takes place, we were at my grandparents' house to celebrate my aunt's birthday. Anytime we are there, me and my cousins always go into the woods to hang out and talk. This time I only went into the woods with one of my cousins, Grace. As we breached the tree line, everything felt normal. However, when we were probably half a mile into the trail, something felt off. My instincts were telling me something was wrong. It felt different than the usual paranoia I mentioned earlier. It felt like I had a real reason to be afraid. I did not mention anything to Grace. I didn't want her to think that I was paranoid or anything like that. As we kept walking, the feeling just did not end. Further into our walk, I swear I heard movement within the trees. I start to feel like we are being watched, and alarm bells start going off in my head. I was about to tell Grace that I think we should turn back, but her attention was focused on the side of the trail in the trees. She stopped walking and said, "What is that?" while pointing into the trees. I tried to see what she was seeing, but I told her I could not see anything. Grace is taller than me, so perhaps she had a better vantage point than I did. "Oh," she said, "there's a deer over there." She slowly creeps into the trees, trying to stay quiet. I told her I think we should go because I was still a little freaked out. She replied, telling me to stop talking so I would not scare away the deer. I could barely see her as she made her way close to the supposed deer that I could not see. I was looking around me because Grace's absence made me even more nervous. My heart sinks several seconds later as I hear a blood-curdling scream come from Grace, and then the growing sound of crushing branches as she runs back towards the trail. She comes into view, and I can finally see the thing she saw, and it is no deer. It was an extremely pale humanoid creature, but had a deer head, and it was pursuing her. I was frozen in place until Grace turned to the trail. She screamed for me to run, breaking my paralysis. I did not dare look behind me as we ran away from this creature, but I could still hear that it was chasing us. We managed to break through the trees into the field without it catching us. After that, I could no longer hear it until we reached the house. I believe what Grace and I encountered that day was a Wendigo. It fits the physical description, but I also heard a video from Swamp Dweller recently about deer people, and I think it might even be that. We were in the Great Lakes region, though, which is why I do think it might be a Wendigo. I know that it could have caught us and killed us if it wanted to, but I still wonder why it did not. Grace and I have tried to tell our other cousins about it, but none of them really believe us. I hope they never have to experience what we did. One thing is for sure, I will never return to those woods. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true cryptid encounter horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that helps the swamp expand its waters. If you're new, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. Much love and appreciation to my friend, ZachBabyTV, who read two stories for us today. If you enjoyed those dogman encounters, please be sure to subscribe to his channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. It would be very, very awesome. He covers stuff from the woods, cryptids, and all kinds of stuff, so I'm sure you'll enjoy his channel just like you enjoy mine. If you're not aware, and you're on the go, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories and bring them with you wherever you go. You can do that absolutely free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. If you want to support The Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. At the moment, I have an exclusive 2020 Christmas design that will never be printed again after the New Year's. I've got t-shirts, hoodies, face masks, and mugs, so definitely check that out. The link to do so is, of course, in the description. Thank you guys, as always. We recently hit 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. When I started this about 4 years ago, I honestly never had any idea we would get this big. My main goal was just to get like 10,000 subscribers. I was like, that should be enough. That's more than enough people. And the fact that we have just absolutely destroyed that over the years absolutely makes me super, super excited and very grateful. I'll continue to upload as much as I can for you guys on a near daily basis. And as long as you guys keep on sending your creepy stories, I'll keep reading them for you. Thank you guys again, and I'll see you soon with another creepy video.